I want to take just a few moments to consider the illustration of the unjust steward. Let's explain what this parable is all about. Primarily, I want to focus on verse 9 of chapter 16 in Luke, where it reads, "And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations." Now, it was the Lord speaking. He's explaining the sense of the parable to the disciples. He's telling them to do something. And yet, even in this explanation, it's difficult to understand what he means. And I think it becomes clear as we consider the context in which the parable is set. So let's begin by saying, first of all, that the parable of which this verse is a part should be called the parable of the Great Commission because it illustrates a time when the disciples should come into the nations among the Gentiles. Now this verse, verse 9, is set in the context of the illustration which our Lord cites to his disciples concerning the unjust steward. There is communicated in this illustration a sense of urgency with the words, "sit down quickly." So something is coming up. The parable is warning the disciples that a time is coming soon where they'll need to apply what this is teaching them. Christ's disciples are to be diligent about this matter. So let's think about what this is. We said it has a context. Well, let's consider it. Chapter 16 is built on a number of events which have unfolded in the preceding chapters of Luke. Those events are that Israel failed to discern the day of the coming of the Messiah in chapter 12, verse 56. That their house is left to them desolate in chapter 13, 35. And that the disciples, especially his core little flock, the church, are being taught that they shall come into the nations in chapter 14, verses 23 and 24. Because of Israel's resolute impenitence in chapter 15, verse 28. It's on the heels of these events that chapter 16 reveals that there is coming a change in the stewardship. Because of the disciples' relationship, because of their relationship as Jews to Israel, they are, along with the whole unfaithful nation, about to be cast out of their present stewardship. The parable of verse 2 says, "Thou mayest no longer be steward." So, the implication is that the disciples are to seek other places where the stewardship is to come. The illustration of the unjust steward sets an example for the disciples so that they may begin preparing for the time when the stewardship of God removes from Israel and comes into the nations. I want you to notice the steward's actions were such with his Lord's debtors that they may receive him into their houses. Verse 4. So the disciples are commanded something which parallels the steward's efforts in this parable, so that they themselves might be received into everlasting habitations. In verse 9, the disciples, in preparation against that time, are commanded by Christ, in verse 9, to make friends of the mammon of unrighteousness. Now, mammon simply means riches. Unrighteous mammon would be a reference to their earthly possessions. So, in effect, Christ commands his Jewish disciples to make friends by the use of legitimate means with those to whom the stewardship comes. And what is that stewardship? It's what was entrusted to Israel. Israel's losing it, and that is coming into the nations, that stewardship. What's that stewardship? Israel had his word, Israel had the worship of God, and Israel had the service of God. That wasn't among the nations. But now the stewardship is transferring into the care of the churches of Jesus Christ, which in the days ahead will become predominantly Gentile. With this in mind, it should be obvious that there must come a change in the thinking of the Jewish disciples at this time concerning the Gentiles. The Apostle Paul provides an excellent example of this new thinking toward the Gentiles, and his beneficent dealings with them are an exact reduplication of what the illustration of the unjust steward is all about in 1 Corinthians 9:22. He says, "To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means," notice that, "all means save some." He was to take and use every means available and work among the Gentiles and preach Christ. Why? Because the stewardship of God, His word, His worship, and His service was coming among the Gentiles. It was leaving Israel. What the unjust steward did by calling to him his Lord's disciples and dealing so beneficently with them was a work of reconciliation. Whatever else we might think about the actions of this unjust steward, the point is that he was reconciling his Lord's debtors. Parallel to that, Christ was commanding his disciples that when the time came, to do the same to others which were among the Gentiles that were also his debtors. Christ paid the sin debt for many of the Gentiles, and they were his debtors. The Jewish disciples were to bring the gospel of reconciliation to them. In this way, these Jewish disciples, being rejected by their countrymen, and Israel being dispersed and losing the stewardship of God, would be received into their houses, the houses to which they come among the Gentiles, in verse 4, or into what verse 9 we read about, into everlasting habitations. That the Gentiles received the stewardship of God, Peter wrote himself to the Gentiles in his first epistle, 1 Peter 4:10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. That God had entrusted to the Gentiles the witness of Jesus Christ, it ought to be to all of us incontestable. It's completely understood. It was not long after the days of Christ that the stewardship of God was found within a predominantly Gentile church, and it has been that way ever since. The stewardship has for this time become a distinct and disassociated entity from national Israel. This transition was step by step. In the beginning, the gospel of Christ was only preached to the Jews. We remember that in Acts 11:19. It reads there, "Now they," referring to those of the Jerusalem church, which were of them, "they were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen. They traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. But not too long after this, Peter was led of the Lord to preach Christ to the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10. You might remember Cornelius and his house and all that took place then. After that, the Lord called Paul and Barnabas to preach Christ among the nations. And from that time forward, the churches increased more and more until they were in the main Gentile churches." I want to consider for a moment a very confusing phrase. The phrase is everlasting habitations. It's a kind of an oxymoron. The terms everlasting and habitations, let's just be honest, they seem contradictory. It's unusual to have these two terms put together like this. Everlasting habitations. Now, the word habitation is derived from a Greek word that is otherwise translated tabernacle, and a tabernacle is a tent. Certainly, tents don't convey the idea of permanence. But it's this odd phrase, everlasting habitations, that points out the unique quality of another entity, like Israel, that shall receive the stewardship of God. Peter describes the churches like that kind of an entity, as one that is traveling through this world, in 1 Peter 1:17. "If you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear." In 1 Peter 2, verse 11, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as pilgrims and strangers, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul." On the other hand, remember the phrases everlasting habitations. We've considered the temporal aspect of the church. Now let's consider what the Word of God says about the eternal aspect of the churches. It has no end. It has an everlasting existence in Ephesians 3:21. Paul wrote, "Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." Amen. Matthew 16:18, "I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." In Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, breaking into this Great Commission text, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. So you have an everlasting and a temporal aspect in the Lord's churches. And so the parable gives us the very odd phrase, everlasting habitations. Now, in the beginning of this message, I stated that there was in this illustration a phrase which communicated a sense of urgency. That phrase was what? It said, sit down quickly. For these dear Jewish brethren living in Christ's day, it wasn't long before the Romans would waste the land of Israel and drive the Jews away from their homeland. It's against this time that Christ would have his disciples prepared to go forth to preach the gospel of reconciliation to the Gentiles. By these disciples, churches would be established and flourish. Who can't understand that the churches have received for this time what Israel lost? Remember what that was? The Word of God, the worship of God, and the service of God. They lost that stewardship, Israel did, and the churches have it now. The stewardship of God involves the same things as it did for Israel. Israel was brought into covenant with God. They should have kept God's word, his worship, and his service, but they did not. That charge to keep the word of God, to worship him in spirit and in truth, and be the servants of Christ has come to the churches of Christ through the new covenant. So these things considered, it is true that this parable could be called the parable of the Great Commission. By the grace of God, I think this best explains the meaning of the famous and yet very difficult parable to understand, the parable of the unjust steward, and the meaning of Luke chapter 16, verse 9. And I say to you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations.